Today's message is titled, Fill My Heart, Lord, and My Mouth Will Follow. Fill my heart, Lord, and my mouth will follow. And we are continuing our series on love. And this is going to be an unusual message. Last week, I gave you a saturation of practicality. This week, sort of, but we're going to get more to the heart of a matter. And the matter is our mouth. And we're going to talk about that in the context of love. I'd like you to turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verses. Let me see where we want to start. Luke chapter 6, and I want to start in verse 43. And we'll read through verse 45. Luke 6, 43 through 45. Luke 6, 43 through 45. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. The New Living Translation puts it this way: a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. And thus our title this morning, Fill My Heart, Lord, and My Mouth Will Follow. Fill my heart, Lord, and my mouth will follow. You know, given the vast biblical amount of information and instruction, it's really difficult for me to imagine giving a series of messages on love without talking about speech. It's almost impossible to conceive how you could do a thorough job of talking about love and liberty without addressing our speech. Proverbs contains a wealth of information and instruction on wise and foolish speech, including the well-known passage there in Proverbs 18:21, where it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome speech proceed from your mouth, or let no rotten word proceed from your mouth, but only such words that are effective at building. James chapter 3 gives a fiery exhortation, literally a fiery exhortation on the tongue, comparing it to a spark that can create a forest fire. And we can imagine that by looking at all of the summertime photos of those raging fires out west. So James compares the tongue to the spark that can create a forest fire. And here in Luke chapter 6, Jesus says the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. The mouth is one of the gauges for the level of love in our hearts. It's like the dipstick of an oil dipstick. Or again, the mouth is the instrument that plays the music of the heart. The mouth is just the instrument. that plays the music of the heart. Or once again, the heart is the bucket of the well of the heart. So however you look at it, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. I will bless the Lord at all times, the psalmist says. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And what I find is that praise that flows from my mouth is a result of filling, of the praise that's filling my heart. My mouth is just expressing what's taking place in my heart. So when Jesus is speaking about the heart, when he's speaking about the mouth, simply speaking from that which fills the heart, it's not always negative. There's a positive side of that too. If there's good stuff filling the heart, then there's good stuff coming out of the mouth. Usually when we hear that verse, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart, we take the negative end of it. But there's a positive end. If our heart is filled with good stuff, the promise is that the mouth will follow. So the question is that I want to talk about, the deeper thing than just the technical aspects of speech. The deeper thing that I want to talk about is, how do we get our hearts filled with the love that will affect our words in a way that is pleasing to the Lord? How do we get the good stuff in our hearts so that what comes out of our mouth is good stuff? You see, we could address this from the standpoint of how to, but that's not really the root of the problem as the Lord is addressing it here. The root of the problem is what's going on in the heart. So, Lord, if you fill my heart with good stuff will come out of my mouth. And I won't have to focus so much on the technical aspects and the do's and don'ts and the how-tos of speech. It's always helpful. It's always helpful, but that's not the root. And that's what Jesus is saying here. The heart, the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. So how do we get good stuff in the heart so that good stuff comes out of our mouths? So to begin with that, to begin to answer that, I should say, I want to share a passage that as we read it, you will say, this has absolutely nothing to do with what Pastor is talking about. But the truth of the matter is, it has everything to do with it. And I want you to turn with me to Philippians 4, and we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12. And the word of the Lord says, in Paul's words, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Amen. You can stop there. But stay there in Philippians for a minute. Because I imagined as I read this, I imagined that as Paul penned those words, that his mind might have drifted back to what he wrote as he was saying, I've learned to be content in every circumstance, whether well fed or hungry, hot, cold, whatever. I've learned to be content. I imagine that his mind drifted back to what he wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter to them 7 years earlier, sort of a flashback as he's writing, flashback to his life as he was describing it to the Corinthians. And this is what he said back then. I have been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. Been exposed to death again and again. I have been 3 times shipwrecked, Once I was pelted with stones. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers. I've been in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled, and I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas, had the city of the Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. So what he's saying in Philippians about learning to be content in every circumstance was not an exaggeration. Because what I just read had happened in his life by the time he wrote the book of Philippians. So I imagine that when he wrote those words, he said, I don't really have time to explain to you, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making this up. So then, back to Philippians, Paul reveals the secret. He said, I've learned the secret of being content in every circumstance. So now he reveals the secret in verse 13, the famous verse we all know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul's secret of contentment and perseverance, because he kept on going. 3 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. So he tells that the secret of this was of his perseverance in extreme adversity. It was not in his technique. It was not in his willpower. It was not in his discipline. It was not in his strategy. He said, I have learned the secret. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul was not a super Christian. He would be the first to tell you that my weaknesses are overwhelming. And most gladly, I'll be content with them because then the power of Christ shows up in me. So when Paul says the secret is Jesus, we need to believe him. We need to believe him. He wasn't just being polite. He wasn't just trying to put on a humble posture. He was not just trying not to boast. He was telling the truth. The secret is Jesus who strengthens me. It was Christ himself. I can do all things through Christ. Jesus, the person. Paul was all wrapped up in his relationship with Jesus himself. And if you want to know how wrapped up, just look a few paragraphs before there in Philippians chapter 3 or Philippians chapter 2, where he talks about everything else that he lost was like rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. And I want to know Jesus. He was all wrapped up. So he's not saying my secret is that I go off and I pray and I ask Jesus to give me power. No, there's something more than that. That was certainly a part of it. But what he is saying, my secret is Jesus himself. My secret is Jesus who gives me strength. But the secret is Jesus. The secret is Jesus. He gives the credit to Christ. Now, when we look at this list, our tendency is to look past Christ and see Paul. That's what we see. And you know how I know it? Because when we look at that gauntlet of tribulation, where our minds and our hearts go is, I could never do that. That's what we see. I could never do that. Boy, Paul must have been something. He did that. Paul said, no, it was the secret. It was the secret, not me. We say, I could never do it. And Paul would be the first. If he was here and he heard you say it, he would say, you're absolutely right. You couldn't. I couldn't either. And I didn't. It was Christ who strengthens me, that gave me the power to persevere through all of that, not with bitterness, not with evil residue, but with contentment and with a hunger for even more. With a hunger for even more. Give me more, Jesus. I'm making it, for my part, I'm making it a daily goal before the Lord. Every day, I'm making it a daily goal to believe Paul. That's my work. That is where I am spending my prayer energy, believing the secret. In one way or another, I want to believe the secret. There's all kinds of ways to approach this, Lord, and a lot of helpful strategies and a lot of helpful ideas, but I want the secret. When it comes to, well, I want to say this, the secret is Christ, as I said. And if Christ can be that magnificent, and if he can be that empowering to Paul, I believe he can be that to me. It wasn't about Paul, it was about Jesus. And if he can be that magnificent and that empowering to Paul, I believe he can be that magnificent and that empowering to me. And I believe he can be that magnificent and empowering to everyone in this room and everyone watching out there. I believe it. My power shows up best in weakness. When it comes to the challenges of life, whatever they are, when it comes to the challenges of life, the secret is Christ. When it comes to the challenges of love, whatever we talk about, whatever we have talked about, whatever we talk about next week, when it comes to the challenges of love, Christ is the secret. When it comes to the challenge of loving speech, this is where the connection is. When it comes to the challenge of loving speech, as described by the scriptures, now let me be clear. I am not talking about effective speech that gets us what we want. You don't need Christ for that. I'm not talking about that kind of effective speech. I'm not talking about manipulative speech that gets people to do what we want or to buy what we're selling. There's thousands of books, millions of books, lectures, master courses on how to use that kind of speech. That's not the kind of speech that I'm talking about. The kind of speech I'm referring to is speech that has unconditional love as its objective, where we get nothing in return, where we don't have any vested interest, where we're not trying to wait and see what we're going to get back. To that speech, that kind of speech, the secret is not trying to fill our hearts with love. That's not the secret. The secret is not trying to fill your heart with love. You don't have enough. And what you have is defective. It's tainted. There is only one whose love is pure and untainted. And it is the love of God that is poured out in our hearts through Christ Jesus. Through Christ Jesus. Not through us. Through Christ Jesus. Christ is in us and he's pouring out his love. It's not us going and getting love and pouring it out. It's Jesus. He's the secret. Even from a secular perspective. Respectful and civil speech. Even from a secular perspective. It's a challenge. That's why there are so many books on it. That's why there are so many lectures. That's why there are so many master courses. That's why there is so much information out there about how to communicate. Even without God, it's a challenge. Even with secular speech in our sights, it's a challenge. So the kind of speech that the Lord wants us to have towards others, pure speech, selfless speech, healing speech. Well, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need the secret. James calls the tongue a restless evil. He says, no human being can tame the tongue. Not tame it the way that the Lord wants it tamed. We can train it to do tricks. The tricks that'll get us what we want. We can train it, but we can't tame it. It's like a wild horse that you think you've broken. And you're riding along. All of a sudden, that thing rears up. Nobody can tame the tongue. It's a deadly poison, James goes on to say. It's like those blow guns with the poison darts in it. We say something. And it comes forth from our mouths like a projectile and pierces another person and pricks them with pain. But the pain doesn't stop right there. It injects poison into their system and it slowly affects them and infects them. It's a poison. The secret is a heart full of Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean? I got Christ. Why am I still messing up? If the secret is Christ, I got the secret living in me, Pastor. I've had the secret living in me for 100 years. For as long as I've been alive, I've been knowing Jesus. Or I just came to know Jesus 5 years ago or last month. I ain't seeing a whole lot happening in terms of this speech. That's because it's not just about having Jesus living in you. You see, Jesus wants, as you heard me say, a zillion times. He doesn't just want to zap us. He doesn't just want us walking around like robots. He doesn't want to possess us like a demon and make us do stuff. You know what he wants? He wants a relationship. He wants connection. He wants you to want it. The secret isn't a genuinely enjoyable. Hear what I'm saying here. It's a genuinely enjoyable, fulfilling, satisfying, joy-creating relationship with Christ. Not just signing in and reporting for duty. Lord, what's my mission today? No, I'm talking about a relationship that is full of Jesus himself and your fellowship with Jesus. That's what Paul was talking about when he said the secret is Christ. He wasn't just talking about going to Jesus like the ATM machine and withdrawing some power. You don't get that when you look at what he wrote a few paragraphs earlier there in Philippians. You don't get that. You see a man who is obsessed, delighting, out of control. And you know what he would say? He'd say, I didn't do this to myself. Even that, even what you see in terms of the vibrancy and the vitality and the depth and the richness and the passion that I have for Jesus, I didn't even do that. All I want to do, Paul said, is take hold of that for which I was taken hold of. The Lord took hold of him and Paul took hold of that. And the Lord has taken hold of each one of us. You see it happening in your life. You can see, you can hear your Savior calling you to more. You know it. We all know it. We hear him. We hear his voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And where is the Lord taking me? Where you taking me, Lord? Well, your destination is not really important. What's really important is I'm taking you and you're with me. So the secret is a heart full of Jesus. And before that settles into your mind as a task, as another to do, as another thing I ought to be doing that I'm not, Pastor, as I'm just not there one day maybe, before it settles into your to-do book or your to-do list, keep this in mind. The Lord wants to enjoy, he wants us to enjoy him far more than we want to enjoy him. He wants this for us far more than we want it for us. While we were yet sinners running around on the planet doing our thing, he was plotting a way to get Darren into his family so he could have fellowship with Darren. He did not say, Darren, I want you and my family, but you sit over there. You know, I'll get with you in a bit. No, Darren, if you were the only person on the planet and you needed salvation, I would have come from heaven above just for you. The Lord didn't make a calculation of the numbers. He just saw the need. That's what brought him here, was not the numbers. It was the need. Just turns out that the whole world needed it. It just worked out that way. He wants us to enjoy this kind of secret relationship with him, this individual, this amazing, magnificent experience of the creator of the universe. He wants us to experience this more than we want to experience. See, even though we are all over the place, and we are, Lord knows we are, we're all over the place. Sometimes, you know, when it comes to our relationship with him, we're all over the place. Sometimes we're hot. Sometimes we're cold. Sometimes we're interested. Sometimes we're disinterested. Otherwise engaged. Sometimes we're full of praise. Other times we're full of mad. He never changes. He never walks away. He never refuses to pick up the phone. He's always there for us. He's always there with us, and he's always there in us. Why is that? Because he wants us. Duh. Maybe, just maybe, he loves you. Maybe, just maybe, he likes you. Maybe, just maybe, when it says the Lord takes pleasure in his people, maybe, just maybe, that's so. Maybe, just maybe, God so loved the world that he sent his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish. Maybe, just maybe, that means He loves me. He loves me. That he put his Holy Spirit in me. He came to live in me. Maybe that means he wants to be around me. And when he put forever on it, maybe that means he kind of wants to stay for a while. So don't think that God is putting this onerous task on you when he talks about the secret. Don't think he's standing back saying, you know, you do it. I want you to have this. To know him, as I said in week one and I said in week two and I'm saying again in week three, to know him is to adore him. To adore him is to adorn him, to wrap yourself up in him. And to adorn him is to grow in love. And that includes loving speech. So let loving words flow from a heart that celebrates your relationship with Jesus. Let Paul's secret be our secret. Christ was his secret. Let Christ be your secret. I don't know about you, but the richer my relationship with Jesus becomes, the less I have to pay attention to the spiritual minutiae. It's there for a reason. It's there because the Lord wants to use it to direct us. But it's much more fluid. It's like being, it's like my speech is on oil. When I am enjoying the secret, my speech is on oil. But when it's not, I can hear it grinding. I may be cranking it out. But it's much more work. It's better to work at it than to just let it fly. But it's better to have it lubricated by the secret than to grind it out. So I'm going to close with a couple of love notes. I said that this is mostly about the heart, but I am going to give you a couple of things that can make a big, big difference, practically speaking. In terms of exercising loving speech that will tremendously bless those around us. It's not a book. It's not a seminar. Just two things. Because if I gave you a book, if I gave you a seminar, you know what it would be? What it would be tomorrow? A book and a seminar. You would have notes. But how many of us take those notes and really, really apply them? So I'm going to give you two things, and I promise you that if you try these two things this week, and I'm not saying that you're not doing it. I'm saying if you are doing it, keep doing it. And if you are doing it, you could probably say amen and raise your hand and come up here and testify so that it gives more credence to what I'm saying and helps other people who aren't doing it. Two things. Remember this. Positive speech begets positive speech. What I mean by that is if you start the day off with positive speech, positive communication, you're more likely to repeat it. You start off with negative speech, and it too is more likely to be repeated. The way you greet somebody in the morning can affect your perception of that person for a good part of the day. Maybe for a few minutes, maybe for an hour, maybe for the day. Secondly, if you have building and affirming thoughts about somebody, if you're thinking wonderful thoughts about somebody, tell them. And don't hold back. Don't have so many disclaimers on it. If you don't want to give it, don't give it. But if you do give it full blast. And let it stand. Let it sit on them. Look them in the eye. Let them feel it. Don't give them so many, you know, so much fluff that there's all feathers and no duck. Well, you got so many disclaimers on it that where's the duck? You know, it's like, well, I don't, you know how it is. Sometimes God, it's a yo-yo. You're throwing it out there, but you're pulling it back. Give it to them. Give it to them. If you in your heart, if they blessed you by their being. And I'm not talking about you got a nice gift for them, send them a thank you card. If you're sitting down and you think about John Wesley, and you think about his smile, and you think about his warmth, and you think about his laugh, and you think about just how stimulating it is to talk to him, which it is, you let him know that. And let me tell you something. For those of you who are watching, I want to tell you this. We had our first leaders meeting of the year yesterday. And I want to say, without holding back, that the leaders of this church have this down. They have this down. And they practice it with one another regularly and full force. In the course of our meeting, someone will pipe up and let somebody know how what they have done or what they have been or who they are, what they have shared has affected them. And there is no squeamishness. They just do it. And I am so thankful for that. Because I know it positively infects the whole church. Just like someone shooting poison darts poisons the system. So that kind of affirmation refreshes and enhances and blesses everybody. The tongue is a challenge. Speaking life and love is a challenge. But nothing is too difficult for the Christ who gives us strength. For the Christ who gives us strength. So fill my heart, Lord. Fill my heart with more of you, with more of us. Make us better, you and me. Make us better, and my mouth will follow. And I'm done.